They appeared in glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Anyone ever get up really early to see the sunrise? It's a glorious sight if you have. If you have not, I suggest that you at some point attempt that. One of my favorite sunrise moments happened when we were up vacationing in Perkins Cove, Maine. I don't know if you know where that is. It's just over the border of Maine. Perkins Cove is a small little place. I won't even call it a town. It's really tiny, but it's connected to the town of Ogunquit. You may have heard of Ogunquit, Maine. It's more of a vacationer spot. It's connected by this thing called the Marginal Way, and it's a path that leads along the coastline up and down and around and through some wooded areas and then some open croppings that stick out on the Atlantic Ocean. And our last day there, the last time we were there, at 5 o'clock or so, in the darkness of the morning hours, a bird began to cause a ruckus out on the balcony outside our room. Woke me up, and I decided at that point I needed to go see the sunrise. I hadn't done it yet, and being right there, I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So I made my way along the darkened path by myself. Other people were doing the same thing, sort of waiting, and I found this bench on this little piece of land that was jutted out over the water so I could get this perfect view. And as I sat there in the darkness, having watched sunrises before, I had, you know, there's this exhilarating experience. And if you've seen a sunrise, you know the sky, if it's going to be a sunny day, gets a little pinkish as the sun makes its way around the corner, and you wait with anticipation, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, depending upon what time you get up. And then suddenly the light just comes over that horizon. Bam! Those first rays just hit you. And it's just such a glorious event for me. And I've seen it on the beach, and I've seen it in the mountains, and it's just this idea of God's glory coming forth in the sunlight in that moment. I don't know. For me, that's just a very special moment with God and I and his presence in the vastness of it. Well, today our readings carry this theme of mountaintop revelations. Not that I've ever had a large revelation of any kind during a sunrise. But I would like to know why it is, God bless you, that God always seems to speak on mountaintops. I don't know if you've ever been to the top of a mountain or not. I've had the pleasure of going to the top of Mount Evans in Colorado in the Rockies. It's actually higher than Pikes Peak for those of you that ski. Pikes Peak is pretty tall. Mount Evans is the next one up from that, one of the taller mountains. And, you know, it's rocky and it's rocks and then some more rocks. But when you get to the top, and the air is thin, but when you get to the top, there's this expanse in front of you. There's this greatness of God's glory as you look out over the vista that you're seeing. It's an amazing experience. And so for us today, we're looking at mountaintop experiences because it's happening. People speak of mountaintop experiences as a metaphor for spiritual epiphanies because the landscape often helps us to open our eyes and maybe see God a little clearer, or maybe even God see us a little more differently. In such moments, we may have the experience of knowing God and experiencing him firsthand and having him touch our souls, which is so important. And I think that's primarily what's going on in the disciples' mind. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But in the disciples' mind, when they want to build shelters and stay on the mountaintop, let us stay here. It's good for us to be here. We don't want to go down there and face what's coming down there. We want to stay here where it's safe. And mountaintop moments in our lives are precious and a gift for sure. But the journey of faith is not one long extended mountaintop experience. As you know, it waxes and wanes. It's ups and downs. We've got to come down off the mountain and live. We have to listen to the voice of God. And in this story, we do. And we can recognize the glory of God revealed in Jesus and make our way down the mountain. The challenge of faith is to live each moment and not stay up there where it's safe. In our first reading, Moses has gone up to the mountain. He spent time with God. When he descends, his face is shining. The skin of his face shone, and the people were afraid. It was so frightening that Moses veiled his face after he spoke to them. They didn't want to come near him, and so he covers his face. And I have a bunch of notes. I struggled this week with a lot of different things. And so I have some notes and some papers, and I'm usually a little more organized than this, but I kept running through my mind this idea of the veil. And one of the notes I took said it was an on-again, off-again relationship with God. We talk about on-again, off-again. Oh, that couple, oh, they're on-again, off-again. Well, this is kind of what happened to Moses. He'd go up, talk to God, come down with the glory of God coming out from him, reflected in him, and then people would say, no, cover that. We don't want to see that. We're not ready for that. And so it was this on-again, off-again type of situation. The people of Israel had doubted God's presence again and again during their time in the wilderness. And when God's presence met them face to face with Moses, shining in the glory of God, they were too scared to continue the conversation with God, too scared to continue the connection. God is showing the people a sign of his presence through Moses' shining face, revealing the glory of the Lord. And yet, because of their reaction, Moses veils himself and either protects himself or prevents them from seeing because they're not ready. And this is wrapped up in that veil for me, this understanding of the veil. And I'll get to that later. So through the gospel readings, there's a connection here. Through the gospel readings in this Epiphany season, we've marked the arrival of the Magi. This is the last Sunday after Epiphany. Next week begins Lent. So we're going to recap. There's the arrival of the Magi bearing their gifts for the newborn king. We've remembered the baptism of our Lord and our own baptisms as we listened for the voice of God, claiming not only that Jesus is the beloved Son, but that we are beloved children of God as well. Then we went to the wedding in Galilee, where water was turned into wine and the best was saved for last. And in these past weeks, we've experienced the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, which brings us to today in the Mount of Transfiguration. The gospel readings over these last few weeks have painted a picture of Christ's ministry and the struggle of the people to understand. This is where the readings come together. During the same time, our epistle readings have come from Paul's letters to the people of Corinth. Now, if you don't know, it's a challenging bunch in Corinth. By all accounts, they were profoundly gifted and very cosmopolitan, if you will. But they were scattered, much like my brain was this week. Scattered. They didn't know how to focus. They didn't know how to get themselves together. And so Paul reminds them that they are one body in Christ. One body working together for the glory of the Lord. He reminds them without faith, hope, and love, especially love, that their gifts are nothing more than clanging gongs and noisy cymbals. Today we heard these words, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. This is where I sidetracked into my other piece of paper this morning. Because I went to convention yesterday. And Steve, thank you for attending convention. Lisa, thank you for attending convention. I don't forget anybody. The bishop's address, his speech yesterday, talked about, this was the line that he concentrated on. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And it kept repeating throughout his talk, and he would reference this line, and he was talking about all the wonderful things that our diocese is doing and growing and expanding with not only programs and things, but with people. And it brought to mind this week the struggle that the Methodist Church is having at this time. And for me, the Episcopal Church is my home and this is where I belong, but it was a little personal. And I got upset at 8 o'clock and I asked God to not let me do that now, because St. Stephen's is a place where the glory of God shines in our faces, shines in our work, shines on everyone who worships here. And it's important for the world to see that. It's important that we pray for the Methodist Church, for both sides of the discussion. People are hurting, and it's a hurt that goes deep. And one of the things that people have been saying is, well, tell them to come to the Episcopal Church. We're accepting. We're open. Come on, tell them. It's not about that. It's not about us trying to get more people to come to the Episcopal Church. And what you'll see coming from me and coming from this church is offering a place of rest. Just come and be with God. Don't walk away from God because of this struggle, no matter which side of the discussion you're on. Come, have a moment, be where the Spirit is, and let it guide your journey instead of ending your journey. instead of never going back up to that mountaintop, come, be where the Spirit is. And that's what we need to be offering. And so for me, the veil made different points this week, and I found myself also with the state of the country getting overwhelmed this week. I take everything internally, and I got overwhelmed. And so by Friday, I kind of had enough of everything. Outside world, just pushing and pushing in. I worked all day on my sermon, struggled through it. I'm like a butterfly in a cocoon. I'm trying to get out, and I can't find my way. And every week they're getting more difficult, because I think he wants me there, off of a piece of paper instead of here. But I'm not ready yet, so I'm working. Ugh! And so Friday comes, the country's this way, and the Methodist Church is this way, and all of a sudden these things, and then some other personal things happened, and then the bishop's letter came through, his little message, good news. Thank you. Good news in the Garden State, is that what it is? Okay. So his letter comes and reminded me that even in the Episcopal Church, there's a split. There's a split for how we view people. And if the global Episcopal Church that doesn't agree with the Anglican Church of the globe does not agree with the Episcopal Church of America. And he reminded me that in there, the bishops, the Landeth Conference, which is the global Episcopal Conference, is coming up, and they are inviting the spouses of the bishops, except for this year, they're not inviting the spouses of the bishops who are in same-sex marriages. Exclusionary. And I'm not trying to make a statement at the pulpit. All I'm saying is, God decides who that is. How can we look at people and say, you're not worthy of coming to this place and of getting rest and of being with God? And I know that's what St. Stephen's is for me and for others that are here. And I'm just so happy to be in a place where that struggle is over and we can concentrate on the Jesus stuff. Because that's where we need to be, in the Jesus stuff, in the love, and in the affirming and in all that other stuff. And so, you know, the other part of my veil this week, I know I'm kind of going off a little bit, but it's important. I want you to know I struggle too. And so by Friday afternoon, between all of these things that had happened after dinner, I just sort of said, I'm done. Like, I can't take anymore. And I went to bed early. Jean and Abby were out. I texted them, I'm going to bed. And by 9 o'clock, I'm usually up 10, 11, 12. 9 o'clock, I'm in the bed with the covers and I start to pray. Because it's got to go somewhere. I don't know what to do with it. And I know many other people are feeling the same way about lots of different situations. And so I start to pray. And what comes out of my mouth, a lot of times I don't really think about it, is, put your veil over me so that I may be protected and be in your glory so that the troubles of this world will not get me. And then, of course, I got up because, oh, now you've given me a whole other level of veil. Like, how is it working? Like, I don't understand. God, you're crazy about what you're like, it's too much. But then I thought, you know, that's a really good place to be. So sometimes these veils get in our way because sometimes we put them in front of ourselves to protect ourselves. I'm going back to my paper here. So we put them in front of ourselves to shield us from the truth. I don't want to face that, whatever that might be. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. So I'm going to put this veil up and protect myself. Other times people put those veils up for us. They lie to us. They withhold information from us. They keep secrets from us, whatever those secrets might be. They veil themselves so that we can't see them. But then there's the third side of putting yourself under the veil to be in God's glory, to have that conversation, to have that mountaintop experience. So I'm throwing all of that out there to you so that you can be as confused as I was. I don't want to be there by myself. I appreciate that. So Paul says, now we see through the mirror dimly. We heard this last week. Now we see through the mirror dimly, then we shall see face to face. And so as we're here struggling and looking for the glory of God, let it come from our own faces. Let others see that glory shining through us so that we can recognize it in others as well. Today, Paul seems to be suggesting that when we see God, the face of God, we begin to see ourselves in a new light. And yesterday was all about transformation and how we're transforming ourselves by the things that we're doing for God. As we get transformed, we begin to walk as children of the light. And Epiphany has been focusing on the manifestation of that light. That's where we've been concentrating. And as we enter into Lent, starting next week, our focus is going to switch on the journey to the cross and ultimately to the resurrection. Because you have to come down from the mountain. You have to have Good Friday, as painful as that is, to have the resurrection. So in order to get to the glory of God, we've got to go through some growing pains, like the butterfly in that cocoon. So liturgically, the wisdom of remembering the transfiguration today, it's actually a day later in the year, but we're talking about it today, is to prepare us to take the next steps in the journey of faith into Lent. And I have to put the commercial in for a couple of things. Wednesdays in Lent, we're going to walk the stations of the cross, walk that path of Jesus here in the church at 7, come for fellowship first, then we'll come over to the church, fellowship at 6 in the rectory, and then we'll come to the church. Walk that walk. Walk that mountaintop. Get there with us. Each week we're going to join in fellowship for this, and it's a time to remember and reflect. Lent is a time of reflection, and so we're going to make sure that we're doing that. At first I was a couple years ago, do I want to do that? I'm not really sure. It's more of a Catholic thing. I'm not really sure where it falls. No, it's a walk. It's a walk, and it's a presence, and it's those moments, and it's scripted, and you just get yourself buried in the material, buried in the words as you walk and think about what Jesus did for us. Walking in faith is not easy. Seeing the shining glory of the Lord is not without its consequences. It's certainly easier to stay up on the mountaintop in Epiphany and be protected. We stay in the preparation time, as we have been this season. But unless we come down from that mountain and walk to Calvary, again, we won't have the resurrection. We have to go through this to get to the other side. We are preparing for what is to come. And the readings today work together to reveal Jesus and the glory of God as we end this Epiphany season. Next season, Lent, is a time for us to reflect and recognize where we have veiled ourselves from the glory of God. Where are your veils? How can you remove them? What can you do to change your perspective? Lent is a time to prepare for the fullness of the revealing of the true glory at Easter, so that one day we may appear in glory. I'm going to close with the collect that I did at 8 o'clock this morning. I want to repeat the collect from this morning as a reminder of where we are and where we're going. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Amen. Amen.